Matthew chapter 7, we'll read five verses from verse 1 to 5. The Bible says there, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thy own eye, and behold, there's a beam, is in thy own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. As a matter of fact, this one verse here, the world loves. But they don't finish the verse or the passage. They love the two words here. It says, "Judge not." Have you heard that in the world today? The most common phrase used. "Who are you to judge?" Or, "We're not supposed to judge." So is the passage really saying that? Is Jesus really trying to convey to us this morning that we're not supposed to judge? This is not about whether or not we should be judging. This is about we should be judging righteously. Our society hates biblical moral absolutes, and those that even dare to have biblical convictions are hated. One of the greatest myths within our modern day Christianity is that the Bible forbids judging altogether. However, this teaching that we ought not to judge is easily reproved and exposed by reading the next few verses. As a matter of fact, even if you turn to verse 5 and it says here, "Thou hypocrite," he says, "First cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And not only this, but verse 6 says, "Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs." How are you supposed to know the difference between a dog and a hog? You make a judgment. So it's not talking about that we shouldn't judge, but rather he's talking about making righteous judgment. And there are a few definitions given to the meaning of judging. The first would be to distinguish or to be discerning. The other one means to pass sentence, to bring about condemnation. And normally the context of the passage would define the meaning of the word. And the Bible is full of passages that will prompt us to judge or make judgment. I want to give you several things from Scripture in the way of introduction. For example, even within our passage, we find that we ought to judge false teachers. In other words, we ought to discern or distinguish between a good teacher and a bad teacher. It says here, "Beware," in verse 15. Jesus uses the word "beware." He says, "Watch out, be attentive, be cautious, adhere to, be cautious." He says there, "Beware of who?" False prophets. How do they come? "Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? Ravening wolves." So outwardly they look okay, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In verse 16, Jesus explains how we can detect a false prophet and make judgment. How? He said, "You shall know them by their what? Fruits." So Jesus states that if we look at the fruit that hangs on the tree, we'll be able to detect what kind of fruit tree it is. If it's if oranges are hanging, guess what kind of tree it is? It's an orange tree. Okay, so we are able to know a good teacher from a bad teacher by the way they teach and the way they live. Okay, we are to beware false teachers by judging the doctrine they practice by the word of God. Even Paul says, "Beware of dogs." Now that's a big thing. He says, "Beware of dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the concision." And then John says we ought to judge spirits. 1 John 4:1, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but what? Try them, prove them, examine them." The spirits, whether they are of what? God. How are you supposed to do that? You judge. You prove, you discern, you examine, you test. How? By the word of God, to see whether or not this is the spirit of God or the spirit of the Antichrist. Because many false prophets are gone out in the world. And then number three, we are to judge sin in the church. The Bible says we ought to be judging sin. 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 11, he says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat." He says this in verse 12, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from you, among you, that wicked person." See, God is going to deal with the unbelievers of the world. And brethren, family, friends, let me just say, there's coming a day where God is going to judge the world in righteousness. He's going to judge them not only for their sin, but he's going to judge them because they've rejected his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior for their sin. See, God loves everybody. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Last thing that God wants to do is judge sinners. He doesn't want to judge them and condemn them. He came into the world, he sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but what? But that the world through him might be saved. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:19, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So many people will be judged in that day, cast into hell, not because God never loved them, but because they rejected God's love and said, "I want nothing to do with Jesus." They love their sin more than the Savior. But he says, "I need you, church, to judge sin within the church." You can't let sin fly or go, brethren just sin in the church like you have a worldly atmosphere. No, sin needs to be judged within the church. When you see someone constantly and habitually living in sin, that needs to be pulled up and disciplined. That person needs to be reproved and corrected. And if they're unrepentant, then the Bible says you need to treat him like a heathen. That's what the Bible says. So there, we have to make a judgment to know who's behaving and who's misbehaving. It's our responsibility as a church to deal with sin within the church, and that takes judgment. And number four, we are to judge sin in our own personal lives. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." This is in the context of observing the Lord's Supper. You know, many of the carnal Corinthians were eating and drinking and partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. They had sin in their life. They didn't repent of those sin. They didn't confess sin. And so therefore, many of them were sickly and some were even dying. And over here, Paul says that if we judge ourselves, if we scrutinize, examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God. Therefore, we would not be chastened by God. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 32, "But if we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be what? Condemned with the world." By the way, any believer that experiences the chastening of God is a proof that you are a child of God. If you can live in sin and enjoy sin as a believer, and there's something wrong with your profession of faith. Number five, we are to judge issues between brethren within the church. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1 to 5, he says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren." See, what was going on here is that the carnal Corinthians were taking matters in their own hands, and instead of dealing with their issues God's way, they were dealing with it the way the world will deal with it. They were taking each other to court. They were suing each other, lawsuits against each other. Instead of coming together as a church, having someone to mediate and fix the problem. By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the blueprint in Matthew chapter 18, how to rectify issues between personal affairs between one another as brethren. He's got it there, right there. And so therefore, we are to judge issues between brethren. It's our responsibility to judge. Jesus gives us that responsibility to judge. And he said, whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. He's given us that authority as a church to come together as a church and make the final judgment. I believe the church is the greatest court on earth. I really do. But there's a lot of Christians like to bypass that. And I don't think we should if we are Bible-believing Christians. If we call ourselves Bible-believing Christians. And then the Bible says that we should judge evil works or evil behavior. Ephesians 5, verse 10 and 11, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How are you going to prove, brethren? How are you going to test something? How are you going to examine it? Well, you're going to see and examine and look into, and you've got to cast judgment. You know, everyone has some sort of judging attitude in their heart. Even the people that say you should not be judging are judging the judges. Yeah, they're judging the judges. Everybody casts judgment. It's got to be righteous judgment, right? You know, you go to the fruit market and you judge the fruit. You see the one, if it's bruised, you feel it. I like hard fruit. I don't like the soft ones. I like the hard ones. The hard ones are nice and crunchy, and you're not susceptible to bite in, and it's going to be rotten. Okay, well, you feel it and you look at it, you touch it, you're judging fruit. You say, okay, I'll take that and I'll take that and I'll take that. You're judging. And so here, the Bible says that we ought to judge bad behavior, proving all things, proving what is acceptable in the Lord. Look, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but what? Reprove them, correct them. Once again, the Word of God is very clear, and it's very... And it is the very thing that we use to judge all things. Number 7, we are to judge all things, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges what? All things. Not some things, all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man, for who knoweth the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Spiritual man judges all things. Here the word judges means to examine, investigate, to scrutinize. The same word is used in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 when the Bereans were testing and examining and judging, if you will, Paul's words to see whether or not it was according to the scriptures. And that's what a spiritual man does. He examines and puts all things to the test. And we should. That's what it means. We judge all things. That's what a spiritual man does. He's not, you know, flippant about things. He doesn't accept things at face value. He wants to measure and see and scrutinize and test. And so that's what a spiritual person does. And the spiritual man is the Bible says, judged of no man. This doesn't mean he's above reproof, no. But rather, the spiritual man is not governed by judgment that is carnal. Biased judgment is destructive. His judgment has to be biblically sound. The spiritual man has the mind of Christ. In other words, he desires to think like God, which defiles human intellect or reasoning. God's ways are not man's ways. The common man is governed by their emotion, feeling, and what they see, what they perceive. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus is making reference to hypocritical judgment, unlawful judgment, unrighteous judgment. And is there such a judgment? Absolutely. People can make unlawful, hypocritical, unrighteous judgment. And brethren, friends, it's destructive. God hates unlawful judgment. And so, therefore, he's instructing, if you will, his disciples or those that are listening on the Sermon on the Mount, not to make unlawful, unrighteous, carnal, hypocritical judgments. I want to point out 5 unlawful judgments, one of them including our text. Let me start with the first, 1 Corinthians 14. Since we're looking into the life of the Corinthians, we can't help it, because the Corinthians were carnal. And there was a lot of judgment cast upon them because of their behavior. But first of all, we see the first point that human carnal judgment is not righteous judgment. Human carnal judgment. Have a look at 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1. He says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful." He says in verse 3, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you," talking to the Corinthians who were carnal. In other words, it's almost like they had a beam in their eye. They were the last people to judge Paul the apostle because there was a lot of carnality in their life. He says, "Or of man's judgment," but he even includes himself. "Yea, I judge not my own self." Yeah, so he wasn't interested in being examined by the carnal Corinthians. He didn't want their judgment. As a matter of fact, he said, "I can't even rely upon my own judgment." What did he want? He wanted the judgment of God upon his life. He wanted biblical, wholesome judgment. A man of God once said, "A carnal man's discernment means very little to a spiritual man." In other words, if there was someone that was doing things God's way, walking upright, doing things according to the book, that person will be more likely to receive that judgment. Won't you be that way? But if someone just not living out the word of God, is not trying to live out the word of God, proving all things, doing things according to the word of God, you know, living their life according to the will of God, and someone wants to cast judgment, you think, "I can't believe this person's even telling me. It doesn't even, where'd he come from?" But if someone is trying to live out the word of God, scrutinize everything, try to do things according to the word, to the will of God, then you're more likely to say, "Okay, that's good judgment. I'm going to take that on board." Paul the apostle was even afraid of his own measure of judgment. He found their judgment to be insignificant, but at the end of the day, he said, "I'm not going to even rely upon my own judgment." He says in verse 4, "For I know nothing by myself." In other words, he's saying, "I don't really see that I'm doing anything wrong in my service." He says, yet am I not hereby justified? I'm not justified by my own, you know, what I see in my life. He says, what does he say? "But he that justifieth me is who? The Lord." So in other words, I want a proper analysis. Lord, you search me in the light of what I heard. You search me in the light of what I know. You search me, Lord. I want your analysis. I want your scrutiny. Judge me, O Lord, the psalmist said. Oh, that's good judgment. As far as Paul knew, he couldn't see anything wrong with his ministry. But he said, "I'm not going to be justified by what I see. I still want God's judgment on this. I want God's perception." We are not to judge another man's ministry by our own thoughts, feelings, and get it, standards. You understand that? We are not to judge another person's ministry or life by our own feelings and thoughts and standards. We are not the standard, brethren. I said, we are not the standard. This is the standard here. And that's why we need to have the mind of God in all areas, in all things. And if we don't, we search the scriptures diligently to know the mind of God. And that's a spiritual man. And by the way, when the Lord returns, he's going to try every man's work. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 3:13. "Every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So what? That's a day that is coming. And may God help every single one of us to be spiritual in all that we do, so that we know that when our work is tried, listen, it will pass the test. Number two, unrighteous judgment is hard, careless judgment. He continues to say in verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will judge, who bring the light, the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. And then shall every man have the what? the praise of God. You know what Paul is saying here? No one has a right to judge someone else's motive. No one. Only God knows the hearts. Only God can see what's taking place in the thought life and in the heart of a person. He says, judge nothing before the time. Don't judge another man's motive. This is a hard, careless judgment. This is the worst kind of judgment when you're trying to judge someone's motive for why they do what they do. Only the Lord can judge that. Only the Lord can judge the motive of a person. Only the Lord can make a final judgment. A man of God once said, even though we have the word of God, we must not think we are infallible. We know that all our judgments in this world is provisional, temporary, and the final judgment will be given only by God. We're not infallible to make a final judgment upon somebody, and I'll even say this, upon another church. By the way, every church should be independent. It's governed by the head, Jesus Christ, who has appointed things within the church, and they make judgments in the light of God's word. No church or even person or ministry should stand over another church, because you're standing over God almost, God's institution. Not only this, but unrighteous judgment is harsh judgment. Harsh judgment, unlawful judgment, cruel, cutting criticism. James 4:11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? What's this judgment? Unlawful judgment. No biblical grounds. Brethren, no biblical grounds. Not coming with the authority of God's word. Not thus saith the Lord judgment. Not look what the Bible says. But rather casting judgment unlawfully. Cruel cut criticism. This kind of judgment God forbids. It's destructive criticism, not constructive. Doesn't help anybody. James is talking about here, of course, evil speaking against thy brothers, finding fault to break them down, tear them down, backbiting, tail-bearing, slandering. Righteous judgment is never exercised with the intent to hurt others, but rather help others. There's a big difference between constructive criticism and destructive criticism. One wants to help someone, the other one wants to destroy someone, whether they know it or not. A good question to ask is, how is this truly going to help my brother or my sister? Is this going to help them? Is this going to help them to see what they're doing so they can actually be, you know, back on the right place of restoration? Or is it just casting judgment with no help? You know, just judging somebody without trying to help somebody. We must remember, when we criticize our brethren, we dishonor the law of God. And to dishonor the law of God is to dishonor the lawgiver, which is God. James 4:11, but if thou judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. But a judge. So therefore, we harshly judge other brethren by putting ourselves in the place of God. In other words, there are some things that we cannot judge and is only left to God to judge. This is why Jesus states, don't judge lest you be judged. This is the kind of judgment that God doesn't want. When you try to take the place of God, we have no right to take the place of God. We have no right to condemn people, believers or unbelievers. If I say to a non-believer, if I say this to him, friend, if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will die and go to hell. But I cannot say, you're going to go to hell. What kind of help is that offering? No. I say, if I say to someone, listen, Jesus loves you and he wants you to be saved. He took the judgment for you on the cross. He died for your sin. He was your substitute. And if you believe on him, you will not perish. That's giving someone hope. But if you reject Christ, he will reject you. That's helping somebody. But I can't condemn people. I can't make the final judgment and condemn them. No way. That's unlawful judgment, brethren. When you offer no help, no solution, no restoration. A man of God once said, whenever we assign people to condemnation without mercy because they do not do something the way we think it ought to be done, or because we believe their motives are wrong, we pass judgment that only God is qualified to make. You know, the Lord doesn't call us to stop examining and discerning, but rather he calls us to forsake arrogant temptation to be in the place of God. Number four, hasty judgment is, unrighteous judgment is hasty judgment. Proverbs 18 verse 13. Look at this one. He says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. Now, how many of you have heard a story or heard something about someone and you believed it straight away without finding out the whole story? It's easy, right? It's just, especially when it's negative. When it's positive, ah, it can't be true. Yeah. But when it's negative, yeah. Because it's human nature. If it's positive, nah, the motives start to be tested. Right? Yeah. This is hasty judgment. It's a knee-jerk reaction. You get a story, hear something, you start believing it, and it could be destructive. You know what God says? God states that if we make judgments without having or knowing all the facts, it is, look at two things, foolish and shameful. It's an embarrassment. It says very clearly here, it is folly and shame unto him. It's an absolute embarrassment to you and to me when I make a judgment based upon half a story. Or if I answer a matter without hearing the whole matter. It's been said, fools fly off the handle after hearing only one side. And it's true. Good judgment hears both sides of the dispute and in their entirety before coming to a decision. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. You know, brethren, if I hear something about you, would you like to me to conclude in my heart without coming to you first and checking if it was true? No matter what it was, everybody wants that. Everybody wants that. Marital's relationship, married relationship demand that. In the workplace, it's demanded. Yes. That you go and check your source of information before believing it and acting upon it. I've had to tell a few people this past week because they've made judgments. I say, brother, did you call me and check with me first? And that's my exhortation. And right then after speaking over the phone, oh, yeah. Hasty judgment's not good because you can show partiality. And partiality is a what? Sin. You can show bias. You know, because you're close to this person. Yeah, listen, if we have close relationship with people and they're in the wrong, we need to tell them they're in the wrong. We don't stand on someone's side because we're close to them. Jesus didn't do that. As a matter of fact, people understood that Jesus didn't show any partiality. They saw it. They actually flattered him in this area. They gave him flattery. And by the way, he didn't. He rebuked Peter when he needed to rebuke him. Yep. He rebuked the Pharisees when he needed to rebuke him. He didn't show any partiality. He was just. He had mercy. He was gracious. Why? Because he was full of truth. And there was no darkness in him. He wasn't going to be swayed and moved by the culture or by the position of somebody or the demands of somebody. He was very sober-minded. Hasty judgment is unrighteous judgment. Job's friends were quick to judge Job. Remember when Job lost everything? He lost his health and wealth and family, children. He lost everything. You know what his friends did? Not sit down. In the beginning, they were gracious. They mourned with him for several days. But after that had finished, they got up and they said, "Oh, Job, what did you do? What sin did you commit?" They had no right to judge Job because he had loss. And so when something happens to somebody, he must have done something wrong. Someone loses a job, what did he do? Someone leaves the church, what did the pastor do? Yeah, it's a natural thing. Hey, your pastor goes out to win people, not to lose people. And just because someone leaves the door disgruntled doesn't mean the pastor's did something to them. Just because your kids leave the home at 16 or 17 years old doesn't mean it's your fault. Yeah, but that's what takes place. What did you do? I mean, there's a negative situation here. Someone needs to be blamed. Well, why don't you sit down and hear the whole story before you make a conclusion? Hasty judgment. But what are we going to look at? The simple believeth every word. But the prudent man, what happens? Looks well to his what? Going. So the Bible says a naive person, a gullible person, believes everything they hear. That's simple. Gullible. But a prudent man, one that is spiritual, one that has discernment, one that is governed by the lenses of the word and governed by the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, is able to say, "No, I'm not going to believe every word. I'm going to test it. I'm going to look well to what I hear, well to what I see. I'm going to examine." And it's not hasty, by the way. It takes time. But I'd rather take time than jump to conclusions and, hurt a lot of people along the way. Amen? So we see the last one here, and this is where we're going to close off. This is our passage, hypocritical judgment. Jesus says this is unrighteous judgment. Hypocritical. Matthew 7 verse 3, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" Look at this. "And considereth not the beam that is in thy own eye." Verse 5, "Thou hypocrite." Now, this is when a person might find a small legitimate thing in another person's life. And it may be legitimate in that person's life. It may be a struggle, something that they see, but they fail to consider the big thing, or perhaps even the same thing, in their own life. They fail to see it. They're blind to their own shortcomings, or they're blind to their own situation. They make a big deal when sin they find in someone else's life, but when it comes to their own life, it's under the blood, brother. God says forgive. Love covers a multitude of sins. Don't you know that? When it comes to them. But when it comes to the other person, there comes the mallet. Judgment. Off with him. Yep. This is what Jesus is condemning. Hypocritical judgment. The same measure that you measure, it will be measured to you. Do you want forgiveness from God? Then forgive. Do you want someone to give you room to grow? Then you give room for others to grow. Do you want someone to tell you that you've done wrong? Yeah. Then you tell someone and come to them and you tell them, "Hey brother, done wrong against me." Do you want to be restored in fellowship and friendships? Do you want that relationship to be growing and flourishing? Yeah, then you have the same measure in your desires to that person. I can go on and on and on. But here, Jesus vehemently rebukes the Pharisees for their hypocrisy in another area that is similar. I want you to see this in Matthew 23 and look at verse 23. I don't want you to miss this. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weighty matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith." He says, "These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone." You know what he's saying to them? He's not saying, "Oh, you shouldn't tithe. or you shouldn't give, or whatever. He's saying, but your focus is more on the tiny little details. You know, what they did is they even tithed from their herbs. They, you know, put a tenth of their herb. You know, probably even weighed it. Well, just give a bit more to God. What's wrong? But they wanted to just weigh it, which was fine. If you want to do that, you want to weigh, make sure you're giving your tenth, your first fruits to the Lord. Praise God. Good on you. But you know what they forgot? Justice. Justice. Righteousness. Justice. Mercy. Love. Forgiveness. Faith. The weightier matters of the law. They were more concerned with tiny details. They were more concerned with what we'd see on outwardly. That's the Pharisees. Now, is there anything wrong with trying to, you know, look right and walk right and talk? No, nothing's wrong. But they focus more on the outward. The Pharisees, as long as they looked the part, they were okay. But they were justified by their own self-righteousness with how they dealt with people. Harshly, condescending, critical. You see, you trace the life of the Pharisee and you see how the religious, A1. Yeah, A1. Charity, mercy, justice, what's right, what's proper. Look what he says in the next verse. Ye blind guides. Yes, strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Yeah, blind guides? Yeah. Well, they strain at a gnat. Little tiny insect, like Jesus was talking about, the speck in your brother's eye. The little tiny insect that falls in their drinking cup, they make sure they won't swallow that, so they use their teeth to strain it when they see a little insect there. Don't want to look particular. They're doing everything right. But mercy and judgment, forgiveness and love and doing what's right. No. So if an unclean animal came like a camel, I'll swallow it. Yeah. Absolutely. God forbid that any one of us will be a Pharisee. Like a Pharisee. Details? He didn't rebuke them for the details. Thank God for details, little things. But Jesus wants us to focus also on these big matters. Justice and righteousness, mercy, forgiveness, faith, walking by faith, walking according to the will of God, not just following tradition. This is how we've always done it, and this is how it's going to be. Tradition is good. But what about if your tradition undermines the word of God? What are you going to do? You're going to keep to your tradition and throw out the word of God? No, faith keeps to the word of God. It's faithful to God. Well, the Pharisees loved their tradition and the way they did things. They loved, you know, your disciples, how come they eat with unclean hands? Now, there's nothing wrong with hygiene. But that's where their mind was always thinking, you know, thinking externally, outwardly. To them, it was the measure of holiness, righteousness. And so Jesus calls them blind guides. Why? Because they don't help anyone. You know what these people lead you to? Religiosity. They don't lead you to a Christ-like life. That's why the opposition was there. You had Jesus and you had the Pharisees. I don't want to go with the Pharisees. I want to go where Jesus is going. Oh, he upset them. He upset them by healing people on the Sabbath. He says, you help your own donkey that's stuck and you won't even help a human being? They were more concerned about the animal than humans. There's something wrong with that. Hypocritical judgment is when we point out something in someone else's life, but we have no heart to help them. Righteousness, righteous judgment helps people. So he says this. What do we do? Number one, he says, consider. consider. Look at verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in their own eye? He says this, hypocritical judgment does not consider your own sin. That's what it is. It's the fleshly tendency to be hard on others and soft on self. What Jesus is saying is before you judge others, judge yourself. Make sure you're clear in this matter. Before you look at others, look at yourself. Make sure you're right in this area. What the Lord is teaching here first is so we can examine our own lives and that we be so we can properly help others. He says, consider the beam. Why? Because if you don't, your vision is going to be blurred and you cannot help someone with a little speck in their eye. As a matter of fact, you'll probably do more damage with the beam in our own eye. We're going to hurt others. We will. Can you imagine, brethren, speck? Who's ever had a speck in their eye? It's irritating, isn't it? It's just like, oh. And you're trying to get it out. It's irritating. It's irritating to you. Hey, brother, can you come and help me? Yeah. And you know it's irritating. You know you've got weaknesses. You do. But a brother doesn't come and grab your weaknesses and he helps you with your weakness. He considers you. He wants to help you and restore you. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. But how are you going to restore somebody when you're actually using that little thing against them? And you've got this big thing. What are you going to do? Joshua, come and stand over here. You can be one that represents a brother that has a speck in his eye. Jobson, you want to stand over here? You can be another brother that has a little speck in his eye. And I'm a brother that I'm trying to help you, but I've got a beam in my own eye. I'm going to come and help you, brothers. How can I help you? I can't help him. I'm going to destroy him. We're not close at all. Huh? I'm going to walk around in the church. Oh, I've got my convictions all together. I's dotted, T's crossed. Yeah, that's a Pharisee, mate. No love. As a matter of fact, someone walks through that door, they're not dressed like you're dressed. Let me help you, bro. Yeah. That's what happens. Isn't that right? I thank God that there were sweet people when I was growing up in the Christian faith that weren't looking like this at me. But they had me over to their place and discipled me and cared for me and loved me. And they waited for me to grow and be patient with me. I thank God for that. Because you know what? That helped me. But there were people in my life that were like this. They came to help me. And I was confused. And every time I was growing, I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that. Man, it looked like they were holy and they were righteous and standing for truth. And I was like, mate, I want that zeal for truth. But the character? No, but I don't want that. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, hear what the Pharisees are saying, but don't do what they do. Don't do what they do. Hear, but don't do what they do. Because sometimes the Pharisees had some good things to say. But when it came to practice, they'd do damage. Yeah, brother, can I help you there in the IT? You got everything under control? Yeah. You can take a seat, thank you. Yeah, do you get the picture? May God help us not to walk in those doors with beams in our eyes like this, because we can. We can. I want everyone that comes to this church knowing that there's a God in heaven that loves them and that he will do anything in this world to try to help somebody, not hurt somebody. And as a church, we need to have the same attitude. Does that mean we're soft on sin? No, of course not. Of course not. You've got to deal with it. If you don't deal with it and you put it under the carpet, it's no good. How are you going to help somebody? No. He says, consider though thyself. And then he says this, look at verse 5, thou hypocrite. He says, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye. And then, thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. See that? Brothers, I've had so many people with what's been taking place trying to help me in an area that they cannot help me because they haven't helped themselves. I'm thinking, brother, you want to disown me and separate from me from something that you don't even know, and I have to educate you about what you believe before you can help me? Come on. Go do your work. Go study the scripture and then come and help me. Yeah. One example that's happened to me in the last couple of weeks. I want people to help me. But guess what, brethren? I want people to help me with an open Bible. Not with the traditions of man or their opinions or carnal illustrations that don't even harmonize with the Word of God. This book, the Word of God, is the only thing that can help us. Nothing else. And the author of this book, the Holy Spirit, not man's opinions and comments, not man's traditions and so forth. No, they're not going to help us. Only the Word of God is able to help us. Cast out the beam in their own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly enough to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And then for what purpose? Look at this. Verse 5. To see clearly. Clearly. Discernment. You know why people don't see clearly? I'll tell you why. Because they walk around like this, with a beam in their eye, and they refuse to lay it aside. They refuse to, not to consider it. Yeah. And they cannot see clearly. So therefore their judgment is blurred. And it hurts people, divides and separates, and it's no good to anybody. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Have a look at this. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, and we're done. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Look at this. What's that word there? Considering thyself, lest thou also be what? Tempted. Look at verse 2, don't miss it. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the law that God wants us to fulfill. Love one another. Love your neighbor as you want to be loved. Do unto others as you want those to be done unto you. Whatever measure you meet, that's going to be measured to you. If you're going to cut and dry people, cut off and dry, and just cut and dry and cut it off without helping them and separate from them, that might well happen to you. The way you treat people, people will treat you. I don't know about you, but God was long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there comes a time where this person, they don't want you to bear their burden. They don't want you to show you, no, leave me alone. They don't want to be reproved and rebuked. So you don't do it. You leave them alone. But when you're asking for it, when you're saying, dear brother, show me where I've gone wrong. Show me. Show me. Sit down with me. Take time to lead me and guide me. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. And the spirit of, don't cut dry, done, you're not doing it my way, see you later, lump it or leave it, you're not happy, get out of here. No. We should be willing to take time to help those that want to be helped, and if they don't want any help anymore, then what can you do? We just say sorry. And if they continue to sin and cause others to sin, what do you have to judge sin within the church and say, bro, we can't help you anymore in this area? You don't want to be helped. But what if you have a brother that has a speck in his eye and is pleading and saying, please take it out? Not. Matthew 7:1 has nothing to do with avoiding conflict for the sake of unity, or ignoring doctrinal or moral error in the name of love. No. Righteous judgment is an act of love that seeks to help others. Righteous judgment is governed by grace and humility. Unrighteous judgment is fueled by pride. Righteous judgment delivers. Unrighteous judgment destroys. Righteous judgment helps. Unrighteous judgment hurts. Righteous judgments have a heart to restore. Unrighteous judgment, no heart for reconciliation. In simple terms, Jesus was saying, stop having a critical spirit, but start having a constructive attitude to help others when they want to be helped. May the Lord help us stop having a self-righteous, carnal, unlawful judgment upon others, but rather judge righteously. That's what Jesus said. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Does God want us to judge? Yes, but He wants it to be righteous. Say how? This way. Hey, Elisha, can I help you with that little speck, brother? Come. Let me show you what the Bible says here. See what the Bible says? Yeah, well, you need to stop doing that because the Bible says we shouldn't be doing that. You can sit down, and then in that area, he can see clearly enough. And that's how it works. Hey, brother, look at this. What I found. It's helped me. It's going to help you. Yeah. Right, Joash? Look at that. Beautiful verse, brother. And by the way, you're doing well sitting up straight listening. Did you think the beam was funny? Yeah. Don't grow up being a Pharisee. Grow up being like Jesus Christ. Yeah. Because, you know, if you're going to grow up being a religious buff, you're going to die an old bitter man. But if you die knowing your Savior, sensitive to your sin in your own life, and you know it, you know, you're not perfect. You see your sin, and you say, God, help me. By the way, brethren, each and every single one of us has blind spots. Can you imagine with the blind spots, I just kept jumping at you and you were jumping on me with the blind spots? You know? No. Not good. Not good at all. But that's what people want to find, the blind spots. Gotcha! Gotcha! Wow. Instead of saying gotcha, come and open your Bible and help me. Amen? Let's pray.